just kind of anti-establishment to say, well, yeah, we're wearing the orange uniform, the black uniforms. I knew we were going to do that, and I was saying it this week, and people were like, well, no, that's rumor-mongering, and he doesn't know, and he's just guessing. And, well, I had a source. Well, but isn't it, or don't we want to hear somebody take an anti-establishment viewpoint every once in a while, just to kind of feed you what you're supposed to be fed? And Vern Lundquist today crack out with his crazy grandfather laugh that he had going. Today he went, ha, 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 ha! I thought at one point that Chris Matthews was invading his body. Ha! Ha! Anyway, my family was upstairs sleeping. Love this guy, this Ruiz guy. Gotta give Charlie Manuel credit, though. He isn't, oh God, this Brantley guy's awful. Look at this Brantley guy, those of you watching the World Series right now. That guy looks like a reject from the Waltons back in the day. And Andy Petit, he came up so small tonight. We should have rocked him in the second inning. It's all so funny, isn't it? Guess 15. Don't you think the whole thing's funny and Ricky Dewey? Vern has his Verngasms. Yeah, Tim Tebow today. Lamborn said Tim Tebow today during that Georgia game. Tim Tebow today asked for a hand up. And the Georgia defender was like, no. Football, dude. I ain't here to be a part of what you and Urban have between you. Oh, you're right. Andy Pettit looks like a goat. Actually, you know who looks like a goat right now? Is Stephen Orr Spurrier, SOS. The Carolina fans, I'm not real sharp tonight. The Carolina fans, I'm distracted. We play for a world championship every 100 years, the Philadelphia fans. Sorry, I opine. You have to deal with me tonight. Take me as I am, as Jason Scheff once said in a really bad Chicago song. Oh, God, this guy looks like a reject from the Waltons. Looks like somebody should be dating Mary Ellen. Be batting in the bottom of the sixth in a 6-4 game. Oh, well. Rock that ball. Pop up! To go to the phones now. I'm so proud of the team, the way they played tonight. Bryce Brown, young guys, the way Georgia competed today. Isn't it a great thing? Tennessee gets the job done. Tide Rollers in here because that's okay. Wasn't that a beautiful? I want to know right now, quick poll. How many people thought, before we go to the phones, how many of our posters thought, and I'm just going to do a quick snapshot poll here. How many people in here right now thought that the black jerseys were good looking? How many people thought the black jerseys were good looking? Jump in there if you thought the black jerseys were good looking. I really, 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 as the night went on, liked the black jerseys. I liked them a lot. Pump that gas. Pump that gas. Pump that gas. Pump that gas. Legions of the Miserable said, my wife loved them. I liked the black. Me, love them. I liked them. Crack out, you're a hater. Shake Teller said, okay, beautiful. Agree, Lebowski. Everything looks better in black. Love the black uni. Perfect timing, guess 6. Interesting, says Krakow. Hyman's hated them. Oh, you know the GOL hated them. Black with white pants would be nice. White helmets, white and black info, guess 86. How many will they sell them? Good point, 84. It's all about fleecing the sheep. And go big black. Guess 81 writes, go big black. Look like a bag full of Halloween candy. Once you go black. I've been called a hater twice today by Tony. The jerseys are next level. Adidas is happy. Blacksmith, T. Blackmon. T. Blackmon, you and Miss Lynn need to go. Y'all hung up on the jerseys. Tide Roll, y'all hung up in 1935. Former sexuals say they did not like them. You know the former sexuals hate them. Homer is like that Indian right now crying. Tennessee played. Yeah, I like the black jerseys. It doesn't bother me. Don't do it for big games. Only break them out. You only break them out. Yes, 38. Because I know you never go back. But you only break them out. It's, you know, Hines and all those people look like that Indian on the side of the road in the Do Not Litter commercial.
Huh.
Former order one by 63 today. It's a good point. Black, 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 black. It's a Halloween tradition. Yeah, it's kind of like the Phillies folding time of the year. Oh, well. At least it's fun. We get to go and play in the World Series. Yes, 49, you're an idiot. And, you know, we're going to go to the phones now here in the fifth quarter. I'm sorry, I'm going to go to the numbers here in a second. Was tonight's game about numbers? No. Tonight's game was like this. Finally, we forced some turnovers. Finally, we got a little bit of special teams play. Finally, we found somebody we have an edge with in the special teams. And finally, we got it done. And it was nice to win a game. And it was nice to win a game. And Krakow, if you ask for Volchek or JM one more time, I'm going to come to the screen on you. And I am going to suspend you tonight. I'm going to pull a mic slide on you. By the way, the officiating today in college football was terrible. Absolutely terrible. How about when Kiffin went on the goal line, fourth and goal from the three, and threw the ball to a fullback? Fullback! There's no question. I gave you all a shout-out. Shout-out when he saw that. Yeah, Rocky Bad. I love Rocky Bad. Krakow, you're going to get a letter of reprimand. That's what's going to happen to you. Stomp a hobnail boot in and walk to dry. Poor Larry Munson. Who came up smaller today? Larry Munson or Cole Hamels? You got to be kidding me. Biggest cheer in the second half was so next level. The 39-yard field goal was so next level. Tennessee to the Peach Bowl, that'll be so next level. Love it.
It's probably going to be a, you know, we were going to get some sort of miracle 20-yard fumble forward that we recover and are able to kick a field goal like we did in 2006, I guess is when it was, or 2007. I mean, just, you know, we're not basing it on anything, but we're going to crush it, and we crush them. I mean, that's what we do. And everybody should be afraid.
We're just a solid football team.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, and here's the thing: you have Frazier, who's that was pretty nasty. So, but you know, you have Frazier go out, and they throw in another freshman who comes in and is ready to go as soon as he steps on the field, and he may have made a few mistakes, but I don't know. It's just it's a whole different thing.
He comes up with a pick, and he comes. You know, the bottom line is that coaching is coaching is coaching is coaching, and these guys can flat out coach. And we saw it back in the spring, and we saw it back in the summer, and I predicted 8 wins and then felt like a complete idiot. But now I watched Ole Miss today. I think 8 wins is very much in sight. This team is going to hammer Memphis this coming week. They're going to beat on the two little sisters. Poor Kentucky got beat today by Mississippi mistake. You know, they're heading in the wrong direction. You can't take anything for granted in this league, but hey, another couple of wins, qualify for a bowl game, and then work on getting 8 wins. What a
I mean, could you imagine if we get 9? We have a chance to work on 9 wins.
No,
I mean, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but I mean, a 9-win season after the way we were last year. Last year was sick to watch, man. You watched the whole time with your stomach in knots, expecting something to go wrong. I mean, you know, Crompton is a completely different player.
Yeah.
I mean, he still throws it into coverage every once in a while, but it doesn't get him down. He comes back and makes a play. Hardesty can run. And, you know, there were times that tonight there were a few times that he got hit. And, I mean, any time Hardesty runs, just based on what's happened in the past, I get a little lot apprehensive. Like, don't come up injured. Don't come up injured. And, you know, it's just – it's different. I don't think anybody could have – and you have to be a hater to to look at the team and think we'd be better off with what we had. You know, so if you're saying that, you need to go cheer for Memphis or whoever former coach is next.
There are a lot of people out there this week. They're going to be all over Kiffin because he broke some tradition. But I love Lane Kiffin. What Lane Kiffin's telling us is, you know what? It is your team. I know, I understand you've all fans, but it's a kid's game. And we're going to be relevant. And we're going to do fun things to be relevant. And if it means bending a little bit, and I'll say this, if we ever, ever fool with our helmets, I'm going to snap out.
Oh, I'm with you.
What you did today is an absolutely egregious cardinal sin. That is an absolute disgrace that their athletic department would sign off on fooling around with their helmet, making them look like Georgia Southern. If I wanted to go watch Georgia Southern play Florida, I'd have bought a ticket for Georgia Southern in Florida. That was ridiculous looking today.
Well, you had your USFL reference, but I, for some reason, and probably just because I'm a little bit younger, is my mind went XFL. Like, I halfway expected to see Vince McMahon rolling a ball out there and Tebow and Cox running from the 20-yard line to see who could recover it and get the ball first.
Ricky Dewey, who's in here, will tell you what XFL uniform they look like. I think they look like that San Francisco team. I'm looking for Ricky Dewey's entry here. But, yeah, they look like that San Francisco team. I forget what they're called, but they weren't the 49ers. It was another team. Hey, Savnok Fritz, thank you, brother. Have a Dwight Gooden.
Yeah, man, Mr. Leo. Holla.
Holla. Get 320 in here. 320, what up?
What's going on, Tony?
Fifth quarter, 320. What do you think?
Pretty good game today, man. I was, you know, played a great game. The forcing the turnovers the way we did, you just can't beat that. I mean, we nailed those guys, and, you know, I'm proud the way we played. You know, I wonder what Thunder Thornton, I wonder how fast he took him to call Fulmer on the Fulmer hotline when he saw the black jerseys. But he was just
heard that about it. All those old hands over there that have been there for so long, probably thinking, what has this guy done to our school? All those former lovers. You think Fulmer ever in a million years would have done something like that? Something edgy, something fun? Going forward on fourth down and three, fourth down and goal from your 3-yard line? Because, you know, that is kicking an extra point there. That's all that is.
Well,
and Lane Kiffin saying to these kids, you know what? I've had it with you. You know, I'm going to, you know, our kicking game's in shambles. We're going to go for it here. We're going to live.
Well, Fulmer can't throw it. He couldn't throw it to a fullback, you know, on a consistent basis, much less, you know, changing jerseys up or anything like that. So, I mean, but, you know, he was right. You know, this is a player's game, and, you know, there's, what, 8 recruits, one of the top recruits in the nation. You know they got to be impressed with that. Even with the rain and the you know, bad weather, they still had to be impressed with the whole atmosphere. I'm sure it was right. I didn't get to make it, but I'm sure it was just amazing. But played a great game. You know, I was kind of worried there. We had all those 3-and-outs, and it seems like Kiffin was just trying to get Crompton some more passing time. But, you know, when it counted, he turns it over to Hardesty. That last 6 minutes of the drive, you know, we keep the field goal. I mean, Hardesty just ran it down their throat. So that guy is just a machine.
Yeah, he really is, man. And I feel so good for him. What a great season. What a great season that kid has had. You know it.
And, yeah, I know. And you know, Jackson, man, I mean, you know, how many teams get freshmen defensive backs that are just headhunters like that guy? That guy does not care how big you are. He's just going to lay a hit on you, and he doesn't care. I mean, this big guy has no fear. I'm so excited that he's back there. You know, next year, you know, I wish Barry would stay, but he's probably not going to. But, man, that guy's going to be, you know, he's just going to be another Barry next year if he just stays healthy.
It's 14 to 15. That's exactly right. Number 14 is going to give way to number 15. And Jansen Jackson is just a nasty football player. He's just a great, great football player. And so, you know, it's – you can just see it coming. You can feel it coming. It feels right. It's obvious that this guy is going to teach these kids how to win. We're a couple of classes away. But, again, if you're one of those kids and you were in that stadium tonight, what are you thinking to yourself right now? Are you thinking, geez, I don't know. Boy, that's a gimmick. I don't know. That program, I don't know about them. Or are you thinking, Hall of Fame Monty Kiffin, Ed Orgeron, Eddie Grant, all the power, all the strength, Lane Kiffin, his youth, the vibrance of the fan base, the great tradition of the school. I mean, think about all the opportunity that exists.
And I think, I think that the jersey, I think it's appropriate for Halloween. I'm very much a traditionalist myself, but, man, Halloween is a, it's just a fun time.
Let your hair
down. Out there and play. And
exactly.
It's not like we're going to be changing our jerseys every week. We've got our tradition. We may, change our pants every now and then, but it's not going to hurt anything. And those kids love it. The recruits love it. They're going to talk about it all week nationally. And, it's just more good press for us. So it's a win-win situation for everybody, for this university. And, it'll be interesting to see how many recruits, commit this week. I would not be surprised if we had 3 or 4 commit, So I'm excited about it. I can't wait till we beat up on Memphis next week. I'd like to score 100 on them.
Yeah, we need to pound their faces in, aren't we? We need to absolutely beat them senseless. I want 50 for Memphis. I want to give Memphis something. But you make such a great point about Halloween. It's time to let your hair down. Tonight, while I was watching the ball game, I had the man trick-or-treat here at the house, which is really frustrating. But, I had my Gene Simmons mask on. I was playing mandolin for the kids when they came by, and basically was playing Name That Tune with them. So, and they were basically looking at me like I was a complete idiot, but am I going to do that every night of the week? No. Am I going to do that any other night of the year? Negative. But it's Halloween. We're going to laugh a little bit. We're going to carry on. And Ballman320, I thank you for the call. Have a great night. Thank you, buddy. And the thing I say to anybody involved is Georgia and what they did today is a horrendous abomination to their program. Tennessee, what we did tonight is fun. If you want to say that I'm being an inconsistent sheep, say it. But Georgia looked like the Pittsburgh Maulers circa 1984. Manvaugh, how you doing?
Hey, Tony, you there?
Fifth quarter. Hit it, brother.
You ever heard of your government tell you that, we're just going to tax you this one time, and then we're going to take taxes away? You ever heard them tell you that?
Yes.
You ever heard them tell you, the black jerseys, they're just going to be for one game, and then we're going to take them away?
Yes.
I got news for you. Black jerseys are here to stay. Now, it is what it is, but that's the reason I kind of been fighting it the whole time, because once it's here, it's here. It's not going to be orange and white. It's going to be black and orange from here on out. But it's going to be, and everybody can blast them all they want to, but what's going to happen is it's going to turn out to where a couple years we're going to be black jerseys for the South Carolina game. It's going to be black jerseys for the night games, and then eventually it's going to be black tees on the side of the helmet. And, whatever. But our colors are orange and white. We ain't wore black since 1932. You can ask Tom that. But that's my deal with it. They looked awful. I don't care what anybody said. That was the ugliest thing I've seen on my television since I don't know what. But that was horrible. We won. It is what it is. I'm glad we won. But you can't tell me that those uniforms look good. That was hideous.
I thought they looked good. And you're certainly entitled to your opinion. I think Georgia's uniforms looked absolutely hideous today. They look like a bad USFL team. I think our uniforms looked good.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's going to be more than one game a year. It'll end up being, that'll be our colors and whatever, I'm 40 and I'm a man and I'm old, I guess. But
at this point, there are people saying you on here being a Fulmerite. There are people saying you don't have a clue.
Yeah, I'm saying, if you snooze,
you lose, and you know, they're calling you a Fulmerite. How do you respond to that?
That's hilarious. Of all people, I hated that man. I was a safari him wanting to be fired. It wasn't funny. I'd spent my last time going to watch him coach and clap with his lips and wishing he had Carmenex rub on his lips. I was about sick and tired of him. I couldn't stand it. So I'm all about kissing and winning and getting these recruits in and, hey, let's smoke pot and whatever it takes, roll one and talk crap like Lane Kiffin.
Now, where did that come from?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
One guy says these are the baseball uniforms, Tennessee's baseball uniforms.
And I've hated them. See, here's the thing. See, I talked to Casey earlier, and he's on here, you know, telling me that I'm old and whatever. Hey, when I was 14 and they started coming out with those blue uniforms for the baseball team, I hated them because I am a traditionalist at 14. I knew our history. I didn't like them then. I don't like the baseball uniforms at all. With the stripes, the black stripes.
Have I disappointed you by saying, because you know I've been a traditionalist from the word go, and I fought the black jerseys. Kevin O'Neill was wanting to wear black jerseys at one time, and I hope Bruce Pearl doesn't do it, but you know Bruce Pearl's going to get some ideas from this now.
It's already going to happen now.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's already there. No, that's fine, but that's my point. See, even at 14, 16, 18, 22, whatever, and it's just me because the one thing that W. Lynn and I have something in common is history. I like history. I like world history. I like American history. I like American government. I know it, and I like it, and I embrace it. And that's the thing about orange and white. That's who we are. We haven't worn the black since, like, 1932, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's just where I'm at. And it's just like taxes. They're going to tell you, oh, we'll just do it one time. No, it's not. It's going to be here now. So it is what it is, and I'm not going to – Tennessee Vols, as long as it says Tennessee Vols, that's my team. I'm going to pull for them. I'm just saying that's what's going to be now. We turn the page.
Mike Hamilton, I think he knows the program stepped in some doo-doo tonight. He said, and I quote, he does not plan to wear black again. Mike Hamilton said it's not my preference. He said, I didn't plan on the football team wearing them tonight. I think they even surprised Mike Hamilton.
How do you do that? How do you surprise your athletic director?
Barry went to Hamilton Wednesday about wearing the black jerseys, according to Mike Hamilton. Mike Hamilton said it wasn't his preference, but it was the player's preference, and he eventually gave in. But he said that it was not his preference tonight.
He did not plan
on Tennessee wearing them tonight.
He didn't plan on it, but he didn't tell us the truth either because somebody bought them. They were in a box somewhere. Somebody from Adidas shipped them.
I knew that. I kept reporting that somebody bought them, and they kept calling me a liar. So for some of that, I didn't lie.
Ask Dewey Warren, ask those old guys that I know and talk to, whatever. They came to Tennessee to play for the orange and white, and recruits today will come to play for Tennessee for the orange and white and Lane Kiffin and what he stands for. You don't have to have Lil Wayne. You don't have to wear black jerseys. You got to be a winner. You got to tell me, coach me up, and make me a ball player, and they will come here to play for University of Tennessee. You don't have, and I've been saying it to Casey, anybody that'll listen. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I don't know who quoted that, but I'm going to look it up.
Pross said the uniforms could have been left over from 32 over there in a box. We can't assume.
Well, I'm just saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Let's just turn into Oregon. And I've been saying this.
You're way overreacting to that.
Black jerseys. Because that's what the players want. Right? I mean, that's where we're at. And that's my point. Okay, for Memphis, the leaves are turning yellow. Let's wear yellow. And on Earth Day, let's wear green. I mean, what are we? And once you get to that point to where you're just flipping back and forth, let's be Oregon, and we'll have 99 different uniforms.
Lane Kiffin is in his first year.
Love the guy. I absolutely love the guy
here. Hang on a second. The CarMax man left him no field goal kicker, no punter, two walk-ons on his offensive line, and a football team that is sub-500 coming into tonight. He's trying to gain traction. He has a recruiting class. He has several kids coming in that he's trying to appeal to. It's Halloween night. It's a Saturday night Halloween. We're playing at home. The first time that's happened in, I don't know, 14 or 15 years, save a leap year. And you're sitting there going off like it's going to be some kind of weekly occurrence, and I'm telling you, it's not.
They told us it wasn't going to happen tonight either, didn't they?
Excuse me?
They told us it wasn't going to happen tonight either.
Well, but they who told you that are a bunch of sheep. I, who's telling you this, am not a sheep. I'm telling you that this will not, they're not going to do that again. They're not going to break, unless it's Halloween and they're at home and a beatable opponent's in town. They're not going to be like Georgia. What Georgia did today
was hideous,
illegitimate and ridiculous and moronic and idiotic and yesterday. And we are today and we are tomorrow.
Well, you said they look like Georgia Southern. I thought they looked like Grambling. You could flip a coin on that. But my thing is, he got those recruits in last year not promising black jerseys. All he has to do is be Lane Kiffin, be boisterous, and be a hell of a coach, and he's going to pull in recruits and stand up to Mike Sly every chance he has to. And Mike Hamilton hadn't got a sack if he doesn't send that guy a letter and tell him to go pound sand somewhere. My coach will take care of his players, and you take care of the officials, and we'll be good. And that's, the black jerseys, and again, it is what it is, whatever, we wore them tonight, and love them. Tennessee's still inside the helmet. That'll be the next thing. We'll go to black helmets with a white tee or white helmet with a black tee or whatever. I'm just telling you, once you start messing with it, you open the door. You open Pandora's box to anything. And I don't care what anybody says. Once you take that leap, anything's possible or probable. And that's where I stand. But it was a great win tonight, excellent win. But once you open that Pandora's box, anything is happening. And I didn't even – the baseball team, back when I was going there as a kid, it was orange and white. And when they started changing to – when Todd Helton was over there with the gray and the black and all that,
yeah.
I mean, I still went and followed him. But I didn't like
get it, Maisie. Get in here with Manvall. Maisie, how'd you see this tonight?
I loved him. I mean, I listen. I'm a traditionalist, but here's the deal. Is it ever going to happen again? Except for Halloween, we can't guarantee that. But I trust the athletic department and Kiffin enough to know that it was just a fun thing. It's Halloween, man. I mean, and I loved him. I thought it was cool. The crowd got jacked up. They didn't have names on them. I thought that was cool. What George
exactly,
did was,
Manvall. They didn't have names on them.
And I like that. I'll tell you what. I love that part.
Tonight, Manvall. Scrooge.
I'm just still waiting on my glow stick. I never got my glow stick, and I'm not happy about it.
Where's my glow stick? But I'll tell you one thing about the uniforms. I like that took the names off of, and I don't mind that. Rip them off. You're about Tennessee. It's not about the name on the back.
Exactly.
Now I love that part of it. But you know why they didn't have names on the back? They didn't have time. They didn't have time to put the names on the back. They shipped them in this week, sitting in a box.
South Texas Ball, where do you fall on this?
Well, you know, I think Manvall does have some legitimate concerns. It makes sense, but like I think I'm on your side, Tony, in the sense of I think it was a fun thing to do, and in the grand scheme of University of Tennessee, you know, there's no way the donors will allow us to go to an all-black uniform with a black helmet and a white tee. It's not going to happen. And, yeah, we're going to hang on to them. I guarantee you, they're going to be put in a box, and we're going to put them in the closet. And sometime next year we pull them out. And you know what? They may say we're not going to pull them out next year because it's not going to work, but the next year we do. And I think you find a hefty balance, and you're going to have people on your side. And to think that Kiffin doesn't – I mean, Kiffin grew up with Pete Carroll. I mean, Pete Carroll groomed Kiffin. Okay, Pete Carroll is one of the most creative, thought-of coaches in college football, respected coaches in college football. And he understands that, you know, there's no need to do anything extravagant. And I just don't see Kiffin going, all right, this year we're wearing black and orange at home and black away. And I just don't ever see that happening. And I think if that does happen, there will be numerous fans, because I don't want to see that happen. I don't like the black on black.
Well, hang on. Cliff RJB says that Pete Carroll in his time at USC has never monkeyed around with their uniform.
Absolutely. I was going to say that. Neither is Penn State, neither is Alabama, neither is Florida. Teams who are winners, you don't have to fool around with it. You are who you are. You are your history.
Y'all are sitting, I mean, I just heard y'all complain about playing about smoking pot with Lil Wayne or crap like that, and you got to sit there and go, well, and so he's playing rap music at practice. Well, Pete Carroll plays rap music at practice, and so, okay, yeah, you haven't seen Pete Carroll put his kids in what yellow jerseys or whatever, but in Tennessee needed a shot in the arm. Okay, you can't tell me that we have not been the most overrated. Stagnant football program the past 4 years. Okay,
we got a shot in the arm. We got rid of him. We got rid of Carmenex, then we handed him off to Kiffin. We got a shot in the arm. That man right there put a jolt in us like you wouldn't believe.
When we lose to Wyoming, it takes more than just firing the head coach to get a shot in the arm.
He already did it. He was here 2 months and brought in players we couldn't even comprehend with the previous staff. No offense to them, what they done.
Well,
that man stepped in here and lit it up. And can imagine giving him a year? We're getting ready to have a top 5 recruiting class. You don't have to fool me with anything.
Manball, I'm on your side. You're right. We are going to have a top 5 recruiting class, but it's his first year, okay? So his first year, he's going, okay, I have to make these people think that I know what I'm doing. One, I have to make these people get on the board with Tennessee football. And if putting black jerseys for one game this year and maybe never doing it for another 3 years, builds up this fan base like we want it to, because the fan base had left.
Big Beef, what do you think?
Man, I think the black jerseys were good for at least 14 points tonight.
I agree with that. I think emotion.
Yeah.
I think when they came out of that tunnel, the fans were so jacked up to see.
I was there. I was there, and there was thousands of empty seats, but I've never heard it that loud as they run out of the tunnel in a long time. That place was jacked up. Let me tell you.
Old people standing up and cheering for the first whole quarter of the game, and it was in the rain and it was cold, and there were old people standing and cheering, Tony. I'd never seen anything like it before.
Beautiful move tonight. The thing I like about doing that is it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt anything. Big Beef, are you worried we're going to go to that full-time like Manball is?
No, we're not going to go to it full time. That's ridiculous to even think that.
You're going to open the Pandora's box and it happens. I'm not saying full time the next year, but you wait and see. It's just going as it matriculates in. I'm not saying next year or whatever, but in the next 3, 4, 5, it's going to matriculate in. So by the time I'm 50, yeah,
what?
I'm not saying next week, but you wait and see. Why not? Once you open Pandora's box,
you're getting attacked right now.
But I don't care. I don't care less who I'm getting attacked by.
Manball, I just want
yes,
to say,
sir.
I want to say this. One, thank you for being a Vol fan, okay? Two, if 4 years down the line we have changed to all black uniforms, I guarantee you that me and Basilio and everyone else will be right standing next to you going, change them back, okay?
Too late then.
Okay.
How about you, the lady?
But right now, I think Basilio said it, I think we are overreacting just a bit. Okay, I really do. It's one game. They've seen them in one game. Now, if we see them in 2 games in the season, that may be something we need to get a little worried about. We'll never see them again the rest of the season. There's no way.
In 1985, 1986, somewhere in that time frame, the baseball team ran out in black uniforms. Why? I'm just telling you. And look where we are.
Hey, I'd rather see the fun and the edge that Kiffin did tonight than those ridiculous solid white pants we wore for years under Fulmer, which looked like a bunch of ghosts out there. That was awful.
Fulmer's team last year for trick or treat. You know what they went out as? A football team. Lambs to get slaughtered, Manball.
You didn't have to change uniforms to change your personality. All you had to do is change the head. You chop off the head, you change the body. And we did that.
Manball, thank you. Have a great night. That's enough of that nonsense. Maisie, what do you see tonight? And then I'll get
thank you, Tony.
In your old
first of all, I mean, listen, I understand Manvall's stance on the uniform thing, but I don't think it's going to happen. Are we going to trot those black uniforms out periodically every couple years or so? Maybe. Do I care? No. As long, you know, big deal. I mean, it's fun. It's Halloween. Who cares? You know, it's fun. I thought they looked good. I really did. You know, I mean.
Oh, you sheep.
I really did. Number two, as far as the game goes, hey, it was what it needed to be. We made turnovers finally, and when we made turnovers, we scored on the turnovers. We turned the ball around and scored, and that's what we needed to do. There was times we looked a little lethargic on offense tonight. I mean, you know, maybe we were a little bit flat. I don't know. But, listen, the defense played great. I tell you what, every single time that Monty bought a middle blitz or a corner blitz, or every time we blitzed that Jerry Garcia guy, whatever his name is, every single time we blitzed him, he went into panic mode. It was great. And Jansen Jackson, God, that dude can flat out hit people. It was awesome. You know, it was fun. We looked good. And Montario Hardesty, that touchdown run in the first quarter, that was awesome. What a move. He played that guy's jockstrap on the ground. It was great.
Hit the spin button.
The fourth down call, you know, going forward on the 3-yard line, I knew he was going to do that. There's no way he's going to lay that Cunningham out there to kick that field goal. And the team needs a shot in the arm.
R.R. Smoke says our offense went into the toilet tonight. It did there for a while, but we had to have a drive to end the game. We got it at the end of the game to end the game. And
exactly.
So, and the running game, when it needed to be there, was there. And, you know, when it was time to punch it in, we punched it in to knock them out. And I just love taking Spurrier and smashing him on a Saturday night.
Man.
The thing is, we beat them a lot worse than Alabama beat them a couple weeks ago. They were never in tonight's game. They were not in that game. Mm-hmm. Six, seven minutes into that game, the game was already over for them. That game was over 10 minutes.
Even when they cut it to 28-13, they were not in that game. It was, you know, I had a, you know, the offense went a little bit in the lethargic mode for about five drives in a row. They barely moved the ball, but I knew I knew when it came time that they had to make a drive and punch it in or do something. They were going to do it, and they did.
It was never in doubt. Tonight's game was never in doubt. And by the way, guys, the three of you online with me right now, Florida clinches the East with Tennessee's victory tonight. Our win clinches the East for Florida, so they can make their plans.
And do you think speaking of that Florida-Georgia, you're right. That uniform, oh, my gosh. Listen, they've done the blackout thing and the black uniform and whatever, but that helmet that they trotted out there today, godly how ugly that thing was. It was horrible.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, you guys can rip Manvall if you want. I've known Manvall a long time, and I took him from a boy ball to a Manvall. And Manvall, I'm going to tell you right now, makes a great point because Georgia started out with those jerseys. And then as they've gone, it became the jerseys. It became a little more. It became a little more. It became an end zone thing or whatever they did there when they went out there and celebrated in the end zone, and now it's metastasized to the helmets. And South Texas Vol, I don't like that. I think that I think what Georgia did today is an abomination to their school. And if I were on the board of trustees or I were higher up there, I would go to Mark Richt and I would tell him he's never wearing black again. Never.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think
you're going to trot a black helmet out. Which is
South Texas Vol?
No, it's not.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh no. Well, I was just, you know, I think one thing, I think Manvall is overreacting just a little bit. He does have a legitimate point. I think Georgia has been searching for something because, one, they don't have that little national championship in the back pocket, especially all the years that they've been quoted as say, you know, they've been said, hey, this is the national championship team and Matthew Stafford and all this stuff. And I mean, I think they're a team that is trying to find something for people to get excited about them. I mean, literally, they get stomped by the University of Tennessee, a team that got beat by Auburn. and lost to UCLA. They got donkey stomped by University of Tennessee. Not quite sure what their emotions were going into the Florida game, and it's a university in a sense, in my opinion, looking for an identity, trying to go, okay, the football team is what we could kind of hang our hat on for the past couple of years, and now we didn't win a national championship, and I didn't think they won an SEC championship, but maybe they did with Shockley when Shockley was there. Is that his name, DJ Shockley or whatever? But I think it's a university and an actual huge program trying to go, all right, what are we going to do? What are we going to look like? Because we're going down fast. We need something to get our fans excited about. And I think the difference for that is that they're on their way down. And so when you're on your way down, you do those really drastic things to kind of perk people's interest and get people excited. But when you're on your way up, like University of Tennessee is, it's fun to just kind of throw that thing out there once every couple years or once every 3 years. And to realize that, yeah, we're still the orange and white, and we're still University of Tennessee. But we're on our way up, and so we're not going to need this and I said we used it to get a shot in the arm. Yeah, we need it right now because we were going down. But now we're on our way up, and Georgia's on their way down, so they're looking for anything to make fan base go, ooh, Georgia, they're kind of interesting. So, I don't know.
Georgia,
what they did tonight
is a total abomination to their school. Big Beef, can you feel me on that? What Georgia did and what Tennessee did are two different things. You don't mess with the helmet. And our coaching staff and our recruiting and our plan is so much more solid going forward. Georgia officially jumped the shark tonight. That was the episode of Fonzie jumping the shark tonight. Georgia sucks.
Georgia's swimming in the kiddie pool with just one floaty on, Tony. They're just swimming in circles. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. I would be embarrassed to be a Georgia fan right now.
They suck. I hate them.
Hey, Tony, got a question.
How do you think all the recruits now? I hope Marlon Brown has a successful year at Georgia and Ashland, or successful career, and Ashland Jeffrey. And how do you think those recruits are feeling now?
No question.
The ones that spurned the Vols, saying I'm going to go with someone else, and you know. I don't think Kiffin said that Jeffrey was going to go pump gas because, you know, Kiffin has admitted to saying a lot of things, but that's one thing he didn't admit saying. So you got to think that he probably didn't say it or something. But even if he did, you know, do you think these players that spurned the Vols are sitting there going, man, did I really make the right decision?
You know that.
And Orson Charles is getting to play some, but, you know, I mean, we're starting to see some of those guys that, you know, had a chance that Kiffin was saying, I need receivers like you. You could be in here playing, and yet, you know, here they are scrambling, getting beat by the same team that said, hey, we need you. So,
is that about the guy's got a song by Lil Wayne about him. I think Lil Wayne's going to write some of that Mark Rick anytime soon. not that I'm real fond of that, but that speaks to these kids, and that's just a sign of the times, and it is what it is. I will say this about Manvall. We don't need any of this. This staff is solid enough. The plan they have is solid enough moving forward. But these guys like the gimmicks. They've liked the gimmicks since the day they've gotten here. Mm-hmm. And the gimmicks are a part of it.
Tony.
Yes.
Am I on, Tony?
Who is this?
Is it Beef?
Hit it, Beef. Yeah, he works for Gunner.
I think one thing, definitely one story that we're kind of missing here is South Carolina kind of got that itch again where they thought they were relevant in the SEC, and I think Tennessee showed the world again that South Carolina will never be relevant in the SEC.
Great point.
And I hope all of those – South Carolina fans that got excited, like, oh, we're ranked again. Oh, we're going to make it to a bowl game. We've got Spurrier. I think it was ready. You know, Tennessee had to come out tonight and put South Carolina back in their place and say, look, you're never going to be better than fourth in the SEC East. This is where you belong. And I think that probably was the most important thing that happened tonight is that we got to South Carolina.
It's got to break Chris Lowe's heart. Got to break Steve Russell's heart. It's got to break Pat Dooley's heart.
Mark May's heart.
Keith Spurrier is irrelevant.
Yeah,
he is as and he needs to go back and find himself another elevator and another young coach that he can kind of push around or try and push around. It is a real heartbreaker for the establishment, guys, but Steve Spurrier, Big Beast just said it, the guy is done.
I agree.
He's an Indian on the side of the road crying because Manvall just littered his black jersey and threw his black jersey on the ground.
Hey, Tony, tell me this. What in the world was Steve thinking in going to South Carolina? I mean, he had to know better. He had to know better than to go.
The ego always thinks, listen, the ego always thinks I can win there. Lou Holtz thought I can win there. Spurrier thought I can win there. The next guy's going to think I can win there because it's tantalizing. You know, it's in a nice place and it's in a recruiting area. But, guys, that is a program. They suck. They don't belong in this league. They add nothing. Their fans are fun. I don't mean to be mean or ignorant about it, but they just have nothing.
Well, and they had their chance. I mean, you can't sit there and say that, you know, the SEC wasn't down. I guess it was three or four years ago, maybe 5 years ago. You know, Zook's last couple years, and, you know, Fulmer's around, but that's still, you know, you could kind of see a little bit of the tanking starting to happen. You can't say that they didn't have their kind of, you know, 2 year window that they could have, you know, really, really made a difference in the league. And now that Tennessee's on its way up, and Kirk Herbstreit said that today on game day. He said, "Hey, I'm going to say this about Tennessee." He said, "They're back." And he said, "It may take them another year, but you watch out. The SEC East is going to be fun again." And, you know, now that Tennessee's on the way back up, and of course, you know, you got the love fest between Tebow and Meyer down there. You know, it's a whole nother level. And I think, like you said, I think South Carolina's just missed its time, and it's going to have to wait a little bit longer.
they're going to wait forever.
South Carolina will always be an irrelevant football team.
Yep.
You know, they took advantage of Tennessee having an absolute disastrous, perfect storm of a just awful, awful season. And then still, even with Tennessee playing absolutely horrible, South Carolina at best is maybe the third best team in the SEC East. And, you know, even with a terrible Georgia program and Tennessee playing well again, South Carolina will never reach above fourth. If they're lucky, 1 year, maybe third.
No. Guys, listen, things are meant to be. People get mad at me, but I'm going to say this again about Georgia. Georgia doesn't belong. They stink. They're a program. When people think about this league, they're like seventh in the pecking order. We are third or fourth or fifth, depending on the year, the time, the season. Florida and Alabama and LSU are at the top of the heap right now. It's just the way it is, and it is what it is for now. But the thing is, historically, we're one of the teams that people love from coast to coast and love watching. Guys, what about Ole Miss? Ole Miss
and always will. They're just like South Carolina.
We're going to send them into five-loss-ville in 2 weeks. Their national championship season, they're going to end up 7-5.
How confused and lost did Dale look on the sidelines today?
Oh, my gosh. Just totally, just like, what have I gotten myself into? Hang on, Manball wants to get back in here. Manball, what do you got?
Bring one on in, as long as we don't talk about it. No black jersey talk. We're talking about moving forward with the Vols.
Manball?
Yes, sir.
You wanted to get back in here. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you brought it up. Nobody in the world thought Georgia would ever wear black helmets, and look what they've done. Three years.
Manball, you're not still on the uniform.
Dude, move past.
No, but I'm just saying, we can move on, but I'm just saying, but you brought it up.
Yes, 88. Are you on the uniforms with Manball, 88? 88? Are you there? Are you there, 88? How about North
Middle?
Hey, Tony, we can move on.
He just missed the extra point. It wasn't blocked. He just missed it. Go ahead, Manvol. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, we can move on. That's all right. I think we can go. We can run the table at this point. Team looked good tonight. Compton's. Yeah, I think he has turned the page. He's came to be a competent quarterback to where he's not going to kill us. If this was the same quarterback we had for UCLA in the first half of Auburn, we'd have two more wins right now.
Well, and that's something I think that needs to be discussed more is Compton and just where he's at now. I mean, it's not. I think the best play he had was when he went through four progressions, and you know what? He touched the ball and he ran and he got like 7 yards. And to think that, man, that Compton wasn't there all last year in the first 3 or 4 games. And
hey,
you know,
you guys want the shot at UCLA and Auburn again? How about me? I'd love to take them.
I take UCLA in a heartbeat.
Alabama. I want Alabama.
I'd take them all. Heck with it.
I mean, this has been a special year. I mean, you pull out those two wins, and, you've got a special season role here. I talked to you before, Tony, about, you know, Bruce Pearl is in his first year here, and you've got Dane Bradshaw, who is like, he's the poster kid of trying and giving everything he's got, being pulling out wins or pulling out games that above his talent level. Crompton is in that criteria now. If he finishes out this season and we can run the table, he's going to be in that zone of that type of kid. Whereas the Va fans will actually literally love this kid, even though, I mean, you think about it, I mean, he's had four, I mean, you know, it's kind of an excuse, but maybe not so much. He's had four different offensive coordinators to have to go through, and starting out with Randy Sanders.
The thing I'm always going to appreciate about John Crompton is John Crompton, when he was being recruited, there was a logjam at quarterback, and he could have gone somewhere else. He could have taken his ball, and he could have gone elsewhere. But he didn't. He didn't. That is a great thing.
Well, and it's just amazing how nowadays I think if and you know, and honestly, Crompton can somewhat tank in the rest of the season. I don't think he will. I think he's definitely turned a page, and I think he gets it. But you know, to go from death threats that he was receiving last year to you know, I guarantee you when he walks in the mall or, you know, East Town Mall or wherever, West Town Mall or wherever, people walk up to him and shake his hand and say, thanks for sticking with us. Because he could have just said, forget y'all. I'm done. You know, I mean, y'all are sitting there telling me you want to kill me or screw this. I'm out of here.
Well, and the death threats and all that stuff, that's out of control. I couldn't even imagine. See, we talked to Tony, we talked about it before.
We put a black helmet on. I could see you giving some death threats.
They'd get the boot out of them, that's for sure. I can tell you that. But there'd be no death threats. It's still just college football. And you know where I'm coming from with me and my family and our situation going on. Every day is a beautiful day if you've got one. You know what I'm saying?
Manvol, I say this to you. Go Big Black. Have a great night. Maisie, any final thoughts for me?
Crompton's gone from – I was scared to death a few weeks ago. I really was, that when he ran out of the tee in his final game, I was afraid he was going to get a spattering of booze. And I truly believe that. I thought, this dude's going to get a spattering of booze when he runs out of the tee in his last game here. But he's gone from that to he's going to get a awesome, awesome welcome when he runs to that tee the last time, because this dude has turned the corner. Is he a superstar? No. But the dude is starting to get it. He's come a long way under Kiffin and Reeves compared to the other guys that were coaching him. And I'm extremely proud of the guy. I mean, I'm very proud of him. He's turned the corner, and it's kind of a shame, to be honest with you, that he's done, because I think another year off season under this guy, under Kiffin and them, he might have turned in a pretty darn good next year. I really do. But
he made a couple of tremendous throws tonight. Just absolutely tremendous throws that only a pro quarterback or a pro prospect can make. I never dreamed that I would be there. I never dreamed it that I'd be playing that to you.
I'm proud of him, and I'm just and I'm completely sold. I'm a sheep.
we're going to go 9-4. I'm telling you, we're going to do it. We're going to win 8 games. We're going to win a bowl game. And who have ever would have thought that, ever?
Thank you, we're on our way, baby.
And
good people.
Hey, thanks, man.
You're good people, Maisie. Big Beast, any final thoughts for me on what we saw tonight in Neyland Stadium?
We saw some Mountain Dam values. And we saw, the continuation of Jonathan Crawman's push and campaign to play on Sundays in the NFL. And I think he's going to get a shot, too, Tony.
He's got, as Guest 150 said, he's got great physical ability. He always has.
If he keeps playing the way that
he has had great physical ability. You know that?
If you watch some of those throws that he's made over the last 3 weeks, those are NFL top throws. Those aren't just SEC quarterback throws. Those are NFL throws that he's been making. Threading the needle, getting the ball exactly where only his receiver can catch the ball and defense can't make a play on it. And just the confidence. You know, I believe in our coaches. And I believe in Kiffin. And if Kiffin says that Jonathan Crompton has what it takes to be an NFL quarterback, then I believe Kiffin's ability to evaluate talent. And if he thinks Crompton can do it and he can coach it out of him, then I don't see any scout in the NFL not listening to what Kiffin has to say about his quarterback.
When Crompton's uncle came on the show, he flat out got it done, didn't he? Crompton's uncle told me about a month ago, he said, you wait and see how this kid's going to end the season. And we all laughed at him. I laughed. I begged Lane Kiffin on the air, please give us something different. Please. Stick new Keith Richardson back there. Stick Eric Berry back there. Stick anybody back there. But Jonathan Crompton has become part of the solution and not the problem, and I never dreamed that would be the case. I guess that's what's great about sports, man. You just never know.
Yeah, and if anything, I think, you know, it should make sure that our fans, that they don't doubt our coaches again. You know, these coaches, they're good, and they know what they're doing. And there's a reason that Tennessee's on the way up, and there's a reason that people are talking about Tennessee, that rappers are putting in lyrics about Tennessee. This team is different, and it doesn't take a genius to look at it and see that this team is special. You know, Herb Street has been preaching about us all year, and, you know, he was talking about it today. He said, you know, Tennessee is, and if you want to try to get your shots in now, try if you can, but they're back. And when Kiffin gets his players in and gets his recruits in, then the SEC East, it's changed. It's over. It's not going to be Tennessee maybe, can they make it to the top? It's going to be, can people catch Tennessee in the East? And I believe next year, full-hearted, and you can call me a sheep, but I think it's Tennessee's division next year to lose. I really do.
Oh, no, dude, no. You're a sheep. But I love you. Have a great night, and you're good people. But the problem is we don't have enough depth for next year. And Philip Fulmer and the state he left this program in will be pronounced next season. But I love you, and I appreciate your wishing and hoping. I mean, I wish and hope the Phillies would score 4 runs in the 9th inning. It's not going to happen. And I wish and hope they'd win the World Series this year, but it's not going to happen. But, hey, you know, the truth is that this team has had a couple games that would love to have back, especially one in UCLA, maybe Auburn, but there's just not enough there yet to contend in a division. There's just not. Now, you know, with another recruiting class, and then you're going to have to break in a quarterback, and look, I mean, Jimmy Clausen, as great as he was or as great as he is, it took a couple years up there at Notre Dame. It took a couple years up there, and You have to live in reality, and we have to approach Lane Kiffin's tenure with measured optimism. You can't sit there and act like Lane Kiffin's tenure is going to be predicated on a great year two, because it's what Pete Carroll did. Well, this isn't USC, and you know we wear black. We wear orange and white, and they wear red. But as 107 says, we're really banged up now on defense. And you know, now Greg King gets a chance to play, and he come up with an interception tonight, and hey, good for him. And Savion Frazier's injury looks horrible, and now that's two quarterbacks of the defense that were down. The hits just coming, don't they? Two quarterbacks of the defense that were down. So we are what we are. And it's going to be it's going to be a difficult road here. Sorry. And it's going to take about 3 years, as Big Friend TN says. It's going to take about 3 years to get back on track. 2012, we will open the season looking to contend for a championship. It ain't going to be 10. It probably ain't going to be 11. It's going to be 2012. Do you want to hear that? No. Do I want to hear that? No. But tonight's win, terrific win. You know, as R.R. Smoke says, Marcus Thompson, that lower back, he's on the field. Savion Frazier's on the field. I mean, our linebacking core, I'll tell you what, we have a tremendous ball club with regards to our secondary is wonderful. Our defensive line is pretty darn good. And we have a thin group of linebackers that we've protected all year with guys like Eric Berry and the range of Jansen Jackson. So it is what it is. It's, you have to be real about it, though, and you have to say, hey, I celebrate every win, because a win over South Carolina is a great win. Any win for us is, at this point, is a good win. Next week, let's beat Ole Miss. Let's get some wins here, okay? Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. And I want you to know that we have, you know, I've had about enough of T. Blackmon. T. Blackmon, where are you here? Where's T. Blackmon? I'm going to shut T. Blackmon down. I wanted to do this for a long time to T. Blackmon. Let's see here, T. Blackmon. For all your stupid opinions that I don't agree with, when I agree with you, I'm just going to shut you down. You're getting on my nerves right now. Let's find you in here. And by the way, does anybody else want to jump in, go back to the phones, laugh at Georgia perhaps, Ole Miss, Memphis, pat Cincinnati on the back, laugh at my Phillies, deride me, hit me in my time of need, gut punch me? You can. Go ahead. You can. Go ahead and make fun of me if you want to. Pile on me. I don't care. You can rip me all you want. Baseball's a crazy game. You got to love the Philly fans, man. They were booing Cole Hamels tonight, booing him when he walked off the field. Notre Dame gets a big win. Texas rolls. Tell you what, this Iowa team might be the worst 8-0 football team you've ever seen. If you watched any of that Indiana game today, that is the luckiest football team I've ever seen. T. Blackmon, there you are. I just got you. Zapping you, T. T. Tell you what, Broncos ZR, I don't like this thing at all. Got Beckley Vaugh, and Ricky Dewey somehow. Ricky Dewey, I didn't mean to get you. I meant to get T. Blackmon. I got crack out for some reason. But if you want to jump back in here with me, have fun. I'm going to give Manvaugh, I think, one final word on our uniforms. What do you folks say? Should we let Manvall have one final word about our uniforms tonight? Who's with me on that? Who's with me on having let Manvall have the one final thought? Manvall, you've got some fans out here. You've got some fans in Radio Land. You're getting attacked right now, Manvall. Beckley Ball's ripping you, and Big Beast, and Lamborn, and Quick, and Vault Dude, and Krakow, and 8, and 10. You're getting blasted right now. And Broncos DR thinks we're getting another call. He's streaming. And, Manvall, you're a sheep. Once again, congratulations to the Vols. It was a wonderful effort tonight. Lamborn, I love you too. I think it was really a terrific game. Join me Monday, would you, from 11 to 2. Can't wait to talk to you, you, and you. And after tomorrow, the Titans are going to get a victory. Congratulations early to the Titans. And if they don't win, it'll be a shame because they're the best 1-7 team in America. Congratulations to the Vols. What an absolutely wonderful game, wonderful effort, thoughtful idea, a great idea by the administration and the staff and everybody involved. And until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, this is Basilio saying, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. And Manvall, you have a great night as well, and we love you. And we'll talk to you next time on the fifth quarter.